This is a call out to all the youth in the ghettos, suburbs, villages, townships. To all the kids who download this song for free, by any means. To all the kids short on loot but high on dreams. All the kids watching TV like y'all wish that was me. And all the kids pressing rewind and let's get free. I hear you. To all the people within the sound of my voice.
Spit for the hated, the reviled, the unrefined, the no ones, the nobodies, the last in line. Spit for the hated, the reviled, the unrefined, the no ones, the nobodies, the last in line.
I didn't vote for the state of affairs. My emotional state got me prostrate, fearing my fears. In all reality, I'm underprepared. Cause I'm ready for war, but not sure if I'm ready to care. And that's why I'm underprepared. Cause I'm ready to fight, but most fights got me fighting back tears. Cause the truth is, really, I'm scared. Not scared of the truth, but just scared of the length to go to fight it. I try to hold my tongue, son, I try to bite it. Not trying to start a riot or incite it. Cause Brutus is an honorable man. It's just coincidence an oil man will wage war on an oil-rich land. And this one goes out to my man, taking cover in the trenches with a gun in his hand. Then gets home and no one flinches when he can't feed his fam. But Brutus is an honorable man.
Speak for the hated, the reviled, the unrefined, the no ones, the nobodies, the last in line. Speak for the hated, the reviled, the unrefined, the no ones, the nobodies, the last in line.
If you're out here, prepare to shed them now. If you share the guilt of blood spilt in accordance with the Dow Jones. Dow drops fresh crops killing bones. A machete in the heady with a hoodie on. And a Danny and a shanty, doodle Danny ain't gone. And a Racky and a Gaggy Coca-Cola, come on. Be ye bishop of porn in the streets of the lawn. You should know that these examples could go on and on. And what sense it made to keep your ears to the street? Long as oil's in the soil, truth is never concrete. So we dare to represent those at the barest of feet. Cause the laws to which we're loyal keep the soil deplete. It's our job to not let history repeat.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Axis Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. Today's debate is, should universal health coverage be the U.S. federal government's responsibility? And now, back to the debate.
Now, I have discussed the data, but let's look at the reality of universal coverage systems in Canada and Europe. Michael Moore, in his movie Sicko, where I have a cameo appearance, points to the wonderful healthcare systems in Canada, France, England, and Cuba. And he says they're all free. The U.S. does spend, as has been pointed out, 16% of its gross domestic product on health care, while Canada spends in the range of 10 to 11%. The reason that Canada spends 10 to 11% is because the government sets a global budget and says that's what we're spending. And what is the result? Long waiting lists for care, ration care, and a lack of access to the latest technological equipment. Today in Canada, there are 827,000 Canadians waiting on a waiting list for procedures. The average wait in 2007 from seeing a primary care doctor to getting treatment by a specialist was 18.3 weeks. That's over 4 months. As my friend in Vancouver, Dr. Brian Day, orthopedic surgeon and head of the CMA, Canadian Medical Association, told the New York Times, Canada is a country in which your dog can get a hip replacement in under a week and in which humans wait 2 to 3 years. Is this the kind of government-run healthcare system Americans desire? Think about the post office. Think about the DMV and the handling of Katrina.
Thank you, Sally Pipes. Striding to the lecture now is Art Kellerman, who is at the ER at Grady Memorial Hospital, Atlanta's public hospital. He's also a professor of emergency medicine at Emory. And given that, as we know, so often the solution that the uninsured come to when they need medical care is to go to an emergency room, it is extremely valuable to us to have on the panel somebody who is at the receiving end of that process. I give you Art Kellerman.
Thank you. I am just an ER doc, and I don't have the distinguished background of my fellow panelists, but I have treated thousands of patients, insured and uninsured. And I've also broken bad news to hundreds of families. I want to tell you about one of them that I'll never forget. It took them 2 hours to reach Atlanta from the North Georgia mountains. I faced them across the outstretched body of their son. I spoke first. "Your son was in a terrible crash," I said. "The ambulance crew could tell he was severely injured and called a helicopter. He reached us about 3 hours ago. He has several injuries, a collapsed lung, internal bleeding, but these aren't his most serious problem. His brain injury worries us the most." That's when his mother interrupted me. She said, "Doctor, I don't know how to ask you this, but I must. My husband lost his job 6 weeks ago. I work, but my employer doesn't offer health insurance. Is my son going to get the care he needs?" Momentarily taken aback, I replied, "Ma'am, you're at Grady Hospital, one of the finest trauma centers in the South. I swear to you, we will do everything in our power to save your son." I meant what I said that night, but I didn't tell her the whole truth. I didn't tell her that our best probably wouldn't be good enough, and that if her son survived, he'd probably be disabled for the rest of his life. I didn't tell her that she and her husband would be billed for the helicopter flight, and the days or weeks to come in the intensive care unit, and that the total would probably reach $100,000, maybe a whole lot more. I didn't tell her that she and her husband would empty their savings and mortgage their home in an effort to pay the bill, and it wouldn't be enough, and that the coins put in a coffee can at the local diner wouldn't come close to covering the difference. I didn't tell her that the unpaid balance of her son's bill will push Grady Hospital closer to insolvency, closer to its own crash. And if Grady closes, North Georgia, a region of more than 5 million people, will lose its only level one trauma center, its only poison control center, its only emergency psychiatric unit, and 750 inpatient beds. The other side of this debate will try to convince you that rising health care costs are due to government interference. Well, they've got it backwards. The problem is not government interference with the health care industry. The problem today is health care industry interference with government. That's why the business of medicine is booming. Record profits, huge executive salaries, bonuses, healthcare costs spiraling out of control year after year after year. But the caring side of medicine is failing. On the front lines, doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals are nearly as frustrated as you are. Country music star Dolly Parton once quipped, "You have no idea how much it costs to look this cheap." The same can be said about American health care. You have no idea how much it costs to run this poorly. My side has given you several reasons to vote for tonight's resolution, but the most compelling one of all is your own self-interest. Because a health care system that doesn't work for everyone may not work for you when the chips are down. Take it from me, an ER doc. No one can predict when a life-threatening emergency may strike, but if it does, you'll want your doctor to go the extra mile, not your ambulance.
Thank you, Art Kellerman. Our final speaker speaking against the motion is Michael Cannon. He is the director of health policy studies at the Cato Institute, which is the nation's leading think tank formed around the philosophy of libertarianism, which can very crudely and primitively, simplistically be summed up as live and let live. But I suppose the question is, do you need insurance to follow through on that? Michael is arguing against, broadly and firmly against, the notion of universal health coverage being the responsibility of the federal government. Michael.
So you've heard a lot of things about how wonderful universal coverage will be. So let's look at a couple of the actual likely effects of adopting universal coverage here in the United States. First off, it's not going to save us money. Yes, other countries do universal coverage, and they do it on the cheap, or they do it for less money than we do. But there's absolutely no way that can happen in the United States. And here's why. Expanding insurance coverage means more people are going to go to the doctor, more people are going to use medical services. That costs more money. The Urban Institute estimates that it would cost at least $120 billion. Now, with the government in control, it's tempting to think that we'd be able to ratchet that spending down over time so that we're more aligned with other nations. But with the government in control of whatever universal coverage scheme you can dream up, the industry is going to prevent the government from doing just that. So although it's tempting to think that we could do universal coverage and we could save money on it in the process, we would have an easier time moving the uninsured to Switzerland than we would have moving Switzerland's spending levels here to the United States. Now, you've also heard that universal coverage would improve the quality of care. We actually have some pretty systemic problems when it comes to quality here in the United States. I'm not a big proponent of the U.S. healthcare sector. One big quality problem is that we have alarming rates of medical error here in the United States. Universal coverage is not going to help to prevent these medical errors. It's not going to help nurses read doctors' chicken scratchings and avoid the errors associated with those. It's not going to encourage physicians and other clinicians to wash their hands between patients so they're not passing on infections. Nor is it going to prevent errors by encouraging doctors to follow standardized protocols when inserting a central line. All universal coverage is going to do is bring more people into that broken system. It's not going to do anything to fix that system. Now, it's true, universal coverage may save some lives. It may save this one life over here. So that seems to be something in its favor. But actually here, the news isn't even all that good. Because health economists tell us that if you have a dollar to spend on improving health, there's absolutely no evidence that spending that dollar on universal coverage is going to get you more of an improvement in health than spending that dollar on any number of other things, including clinics, reducing medical errors, improving nutrition, fighting poverty, or even improving education. So ironically, to vote for universal coverage does not show how much you care about your neighbor's health. It actually shows how little you care about your neighbor's health, because you're willing to forgo the added health benefits that might come from from spending that dollar on some of those other strategies.
Thank you, Michael Cannon. Well, you've now heard all of the opening statements, and we're at the point of being able to share with you the poll results we took among you, the audience, when you first arrived. Before the debate began, 49% of you were for the motion, 24% against, 27% undecided. John Stossel, Art Kellerman suggested that there's a conflict between keeping people healthy and making money keeping people healthy. What about that?
There are conflicts always in making a profit and delivering service to your customers. You get rich if you service your customers well. The hospital that keeps people healthiest gets a reputation for doing a good job. That's how capitalism works. You get rich by doing well.
But I heard you also argue that you feel that there would be much less innovation in the U.S. system if there were not the profit motive behind development.
Totally. We take the benefits of the profit motive for granted all the time. The fact that I can go to a foreign country, stick a piece of plastic in the wall, and cash will come out. And I can give that card to a total stranger who doesn't even speak English, and he'll rent me a car for the week. And when I get home, Visa or MasterCard will have the accounting correct to the penny. But the government can't even count the votes accurately. And yet our instinct is to go to government.
Hear great speeches and interviews at Access Sacramento every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. or go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Now when I was a young man, I carried me pack, and I lived the free life of the rover.
from the Murray's green basin to the dusty outback. Well, I waltzed my Matilda all over. Then in 1915, my country said, son, it's time you stop rambling, there's work to be done. So they gave me a tin hat and they gave me a gun. And they marched me away to the war. And the band played Waltzing Matilda as the ship pulled away from the quay. And midst all the cheers, the flag waving and tears, we sailed off for Gallipoli. And how well I remember that terrible day, how our blood stained the sand and the water, and of how in that hell that they called Suvla Bay, we were butchered like lambs at the slaughter. Johnny Turk, he was ready, he'd primed himself well. He showered us with bullets and he rained us with shell. And in 5 minutes flat, he'd blown us all to hell. Nearly blew us right back to Australia. But the band played Waltzing Matilda when we stopped to bury our slain. We buried ours and the Turks buried theirs. Then we started all over again. And those that were left, well, we tried to survive in that mad world of blood, death and fire. And for 10 weary weeks I kept myself alive, though around me the corpses piled higher. Then a big Turkish shell knocked me arse overhead, and when I woke up in me hospital bed and saw what it had done, well, I wished I was dead. Never knew there was worse things than dying. For I'll go no more waltzing Matilda all around the green bush far and free, to hum tent and pegs, a man needs both legs. No more waltzing Matilda for me. So they gathered the crippled, the wounded and maimed, and they shipped us back home to Australia. The legless, the armless, the blind and insane, those proud wounded heroes of Suvla. And when our ship pulled into Circular Quay, I looked at the place where me legs used to be, and thank Christ there was nobody waiting for me. To grieve, to mourn and to pity. But the band played Waltzing Matilda as they carried us down the gangway. But nobody cheered, they just stood and stared. Then they turned all their faces away. And so now every April I sit on me porch and I watch the parade pass before me. And I see my old comrades, how proudly they march, reviving old dreams and past glories. And the old men march slowly, all bones stiff and sore, they're tired old heroes from a forgotten war. And the young people ask, what are they marching for? And I ask myself the same question. But the band plays Waltzing Matilda, and the old men still answer the call.
but as year follows year, more old men disappear. Someday no one will march there at all. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, who'll come a waltzing Matilda with me? And their ghosts may be heard as they march by that billabong. Who'll come a waltzing Matilda with me?
And now, back to the debate. Should universal health coverage be the U.S. federal government's responsibility?
Art Kellerman, we had a lot of talking about cars earlier, and I think everybody's familiar with the economic problems that GM is having right now. And actually, I think GM's cars are better than Trabant's. But they're carrying about $5 billion a year in health care costs. Several years ago, the CEO of GM testified before Congress and said $2 billion out of their bottom line every year was just for drugs. Now, meanwhile, Pfizer, the second largest pharmaceutical company in the United States, last year reported $19 billion in profit, 37% profit margin. I'm a big believer in market economics, too, but I don't want our auto industry to end up in Ontario. I'd like to keep a lot of it in Michigan. So I don't understand. I mean, I do think profit is good, but I think when one industry can basically drive another one into the ground and harm our country, regulation is out of whack. And let me just one other point. The FDA cannot take the cost of a drug into consideration when it approves a new drug. It just has to be better than nothing. That's not by accident. Congress prohibits the FDA from considering cost effectiveness in new drugs. That's not the case in the UK. It's not the case in other countries. It should not be the case here.
Paul Krugman, I'll come to you in just a moment. Michael Cannon, again,
precisely for the reason you raised earlier, Art, is that the industry has way too much influence when the government gets involved. And it's nice to think that we could have this wonderful universal coverage plan and we could just get the industry out of it. We could just not have the industry be a part of it. We could cut off their influence. But we know that the industry is always going to be around. We know that there will always be drug companies and greedy private health insurance companies and Republicans who will mess things up like they messed up FEMA and they mess up everything else. So you can't say that universal coverage is this wonderful idea and we can separate out this part. This is an inherent part. Unless you have a plan to abolish Republicans, they're part of your plan.
Paul Krugman,
that
for
came
the motion.
Wonderfully into exactly what I was going to say. We have had Katrina used as an example, and I thought to myself, as I always do, it must be wonderful to be a conservative because you can take control of the government, make a mess of things, and say, see, that proves my point. Isn't that wonderful? And I would also add, Medicare has its problems, but has continued to function. If we have a well-established system, it continues. Social Security is a system that's working with high efficiency. The point is to get this thing, it is. If you have pay any attention, it works fine.
If you pay any attention to Medicare, you have to know that one third of the money spent is wasted, that it rewards doctors for medical errors.
And private insurance?
Well, I was 17, a great big kid, the year that I enlisted. I can't recall just why I did. My mom says I insisted. I had a strange idea then. Uncle Sam was right. Mom, she cried, she signed the card, and I went off to fight. Got off the plane in Vietnam, it didn't seem like war. With all I saw, I started wondering what we'd come there for. The officers got drunk at night, cheated on their wives. Those guys on the other side were fighting for their lives. You know, the army tried some fancy tricks to bring them to their knees, like Agent Orange defoliants to clear the brush and trees. We'd fly above the trail all day in clouds of poison spray. I never thought that chemical would take my life today. But I just found out this morning, the doctor told me so. Says they killed me in Vietnam and I didn't even know. I tried hard to forget that war like everybody else did. I settled down with Kathy. We tried to raise some kids. Our little son has birth defects, The doctors had their doubts. They never said what caused it, but I think I just found out. Agent Orange came home with us. We carry it with us still. It stays inside for years and years before it starts to kill. You might get cancer of the liver, might get cancer of the skin, or a VA disability that you might not live to win. I have this dream most every night. I'm flying above the trees. Those yellow guys down on the trail, some of them look like me. Been trying so long to get away, running hard and slow. Been dying for 11 years, I wonder if they know. The doctor says I've got some time, he was trying to be kind. I've never been a radical, but this has changed my mind. And now I'd be so proud to hear my son say, hell no, we won't go. You killed our dad in Vietnam and he didn't even know. Well, I got the news this morning, the doctor told me so. Says they killed me in Vietnam and I didn't even know.
And now, messages from Access Sacramento.